Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That and so much more. How about Terry Pluto, who joins us right now on North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline? Terry, I dubbed you as somebody who has seen the evolution of basketball, understands what it takes, how series can change on a dime. I was shocked. As down as I am about the Cavs, I'm shocked that so many people have thought that this series is over. Maybe they forget the fact we have LeBron James and we have two games coming up at home. What needs to change in this series?
I wrote a column which is posted this morning now on Cleveland.com, and it's kind of the question is, the Cavs have the will and energy to win. And by that, I mean there is a certain fatigue that goes with teams that go to the finals year after year. And some of it's physical and some of it's mental. And one of the big things I've noticed in the series, it's like there's a freshness about the Celtics. Now, granted, they've been, you know, getting knocked out, whatever, but they're younger. And, you know, they just feel it. It almost reminds me of when the Cavs in 2015 with that whole battered squad with LeBron and all that, how they just kept coming back through the East. And, you know, eventually it catches you. They put Golden State. Well, that's what I'm wondering on the Cavs. We're going to find out in Game 3. And if they come back and impose their will on the Celtics, yeah, you get your series turning around. But there's a reason that something like 80-some percent of the teams that go up 2-0 win a series.
Yeah, I think, hi, Terry, first of all.
Yes, hey, Les. I've never talked to you anymore. We haven't been on TV for at least a week.
Exactly. We're talking about the Celtics, and they're still, Al Horford is still Al Horford.
Right.
The young guys are still the young guys, and yet the Cavaliers haven't been able to take advantage of that.
Exactly, and that here's the thing that's really happened, and I've been writing some about this, and maybe I'm off base because it seems like nobody else grabs this. They have four guys averaging between 17 and 18 points in the playoffs, the Celtics do. Ty Lue is always this, we'll take out the best scorer on the other team. Remember, we talked about we have the special playoff defense to take out the other guy, you know, whether it's the Oladipo. Heck, when they played the Celtics in the old days, who was it? Little Isaiah Thomas. We'll blitz him. We'll take him out. DeRozan, we'll take him out and live with the rest. I think there's nobody he's either centered on to take out, or the Celtics right now are so balanced that that's causing them really defensive issues from a strategy standpoint. And just in passing, after Game 2, Kevin Love said, you know, man, they had all five of their guys in double figures, all five of their starters. Of course, you know how many the Cavs had. Two.
Right.
Terry Pluto joins us on the hotline from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Terry, I'm amazed at this analysis after the game that, you know, rotations need to change, and that's what Ty Lue needs to do, as if coaching is just rotations. Coaching is so much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he did a great job. I thought they scouted the hell out of Toronto.
Yeah.
And did a great job there. I love the adjustments in Game 7 against Indy. Obviously, this is a totally different challenge. I think LeBron James can play so much better, and he had a triple-double and 40 points. But it's mm-hmm. the way that he plays. Do you think he could play so much better?
Yeah, especially if you put him down low. I think run some more stuff with a low block, or even put him at the high post. He's such a great passer. You talk about seeing the old days, and Wes and I remember this, the old high post center. I mean, whether it's Johnny Kerr or some of these other guys, you run cuts off them. And we've seen that once or twice a game there. He would just save some of his energy if he just didn't have to bring the ball up past half court. I'm going to take on the entire team.
And he takes on the entire clock with it. And when
yes.
he gets if he does pass the ball, it's almost not fair to the guy who's getting that pass.
Right, when he's holding it. Whereas if he's at the top of the key, you automatically get some motion going because that's like a set thing going on. And I just remember like that one big play, I think it was in the Indiana series, where LeBron turned and threw the ball to Korver, cutting to the rim right at the end of the game. Made a layup.
Right.
Those plays are there all the time. I'm not saying that that's how you want to do it, but
no. But I don't think you want him throwing those fancy passes too much in a game.
No,
you know,
that wasn't
it's a
behind the back pass. That was simply quote Corb. He gets the ball.
Right.
Everybody, when LeBron gets the ball 18 feet from the rim, where does everybody look? Right at LeBron.
Well, yeah, everybody.
So
on
there's
offense
a back
and
cut
defense.
Open all the time, and he likes to do that. I don't want him throwing the ball through his legs while whistling, you know, the St. V alma mater. Just throw the pass.
All right, do they have a shot of getting back in it?
Sure.
A puncher's
sure
chance or better
you
than
know,
that?
But I'll tell you, the first half is going to be a key there. I will admit, and I'm not it's not all just coaching or whatever, but I just think, you know, for the most part, all year, Ty Lue has been sick, and he hasn't been as strong in the past. That's not, if they get knocked out, it's not just on Ty Lue. But he has not been as sharp, and, you know, that people could disagree or whatever they want with the Cavs internally on that, but that's just how I see it.
I thought you made a great point that they take so much out of teams and players going to
yes.
the finals so often, and LeBron's done it now, trying to go for 8 in a row.
Mm-hmm. And you know, look at the core guys who were playing, you know, Love and Tristan and JR, this is their fourth go-round.
Yeah, JR's been horrible.
JR, I don't know what happened to him. You know, actually had a couple good games in Toronto, but he's been how about JR and George Hill have shot like 5 for 23. They scored 12 points in 123 minutes or something like that. I just put it in my story this morning.
There's nobody that could come off the bench that you would expect to do.
You know, Anthony had as many rebounds and assists as George Hill did in game one.
Ugh.
Think about that. He was out there for 28 minutes. He didn't have a rebound or an assist.
And Anthony was hogging the ball the whole time.
I know. That's what I
wonder if his back's bothering him, guys.
George?
Yeah.
Well, think about it, Terry. We saw a guy in the Toronto series, especially I think it was game four, the first minute of the game.
Yeah, dunked.
George Hill dunked one. Now, granted, no resistance. It's Toronto.
But still, you didn't see him. You don't see him driving to the rim or anything. And George Hill's a good man, and he's played in this league a long time. So my guess, when you see something like that, he's playing hurt.
Yeah, he's been playing hurt. The thing that I saw that really hasn't been brought to the attention too much is they had an 11-point lead with about a half minute left in the half, and they give up a tough basket and then just throw the ball. LeBron throws the ball away, and they get another one. What a difference that would have made, being up 11 instead of 7.
Especially in that building. I mean, that building is rocking in Boston. You could just imagine, you know, whatever. Well, you hear it on TV, and you do. But, you know, the Celtics are hungry. Their fans are hungry. They're feeling it. Remember how much excitement there was. Again, I'll go back to 2015, that freshness when LeBron came back, and that group of – that was Dellavedova and Tristan and JR and Mozgov, and they got going in the playoffs. You know, how you just – this is so much fun. And we're supposed to lose because all our guys are hurt. And they just – you know, now and then the old fairy dust comes down on the team and something happens to them. Then, you know, reality hits you right into Golden State. Well, the Cavs could throw some reality on this situation because Boston's not been as good on the road. But the problem is, to me, is the Celtics keep getting better as this goes along.
Not only that, we're talking to Terry Pluto right now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Not only that, Terry – I've never seen a team this young, starting guys as young as Terry Rozier, Tatum, and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
I've never seen a team that young have that kind of confidence against a team that has a LeBron James type of play. I've never seen it before.
They just have, and I think, and Horford used to just have so much problem. By the way, if you notice, when they put Tristan back on him, Horford went back to being Horford. He struggled some in that game.
Yeah, and he's still Horford. I said this before. He's still Horford, and the young kids are still the young kids.
Right. So it's just now, you know, Marcus Smart was good last year in the playoffs, remember?
Right.
I mean, he's a tough customer off the bench. Morris goes up and down. You can't get them going in the wrong direction, but I go back to, do they have the will to do it? Because it's going to be hard by allowing Boston to do what they did. And Les, that's a great point. On the end of the first half, there was other significant points in the game where, you know, the Cavs start to do something, and then they just Boston responds, and that's it.
Yeah, there's no
second punch, as they would say.
Right, there's still psychological.
Brad Stevens went on a long discussion. This is to your point, Wes. Brad, after the game, he went into this whole thing about how do we respond. He goes, all year I've been teaching, how will we respond when we get hit? How will we respond to the run? They will make a run at us. You play LeBron James, they'll make a run. How will we respond? He was talking about how proud he was of how his guys responded.
Yeah. And psychologically, being down 7 at the half after the way that went instead of 11.
Yeah.
You know, I know in an NBA game you don't look at it one play, one basket, but I thought that was such a huge difference maker.
Well, LeBron always says that every two-point thing isn't created equal or whatever he says, or all 2 points are not the same, or 3 points. And they're not because of where they come. And then, again, now if that were in Cleveland, maybe it wouldn't have been as big a difference. But in Boston, I mean, then they come out for the third quarter. Remember, the Cavs, I like this now. There's two things I hope I never hear next year. One is, well, we always had bad third quarters. I like that one. It's like, oh, well, you know, it always rains on Friday. Like, you have nothing to do with about it. You know, like, we're going to have a bad third quarter. The other is, of course, the infamous feel-out game. But,
yeah, well, feel-out game when you have seven, you can't give one away.
No! Here's how you go. Here's how you feel it out. You put some pressure on them and see how they respond,
right.
You know?
You don't just sit back and watch it happen.
Well, that's what Golden State did in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Mm-hmm. We're joined by Terry Pluto.
And they stole it.
They did. We're joined by Terry Pluto on the hotline. So, Terry, if you ask the beat writers that have followed this team all year, this has been just a random, weird, bizarre year. You think about the different rosters they've had. People forget. I mean, Derrick Rose was on this team. Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, Dwayne Wade. And the number of issues that came up in the locker room, do you think all of that has kind of led them to where they are right now, where there's no trust of their teammates?
Not a lot of continuity. And then, unfortunately, the guys who, you know, did help them, like be it in Game 7 when Tristan started in Indiana or some with Toronto, the old guard, as they say, they're struggling. They just are. They look old and things. When things aren't going well, this team looks old and slow and sometimes bored. And so now he's afraid to put in the newer guys. I don't know. I mean, right now, for example, in the Boston series, do you know who the third leading scorer is for the Cavs?
Well, I'm afraid to ask.
Jordan Clarkson.
Oh, 10, come on.
And he didn't even play in Game 2.
You're making
not that,
that
this is a big issue for Jordan Clarkson, but it's just Kevin and LeBron have put up the points. In fact, I think they scored 60-some of the 94 points the other day. But there's just nobody else. You know, Rodney Hood, I'll tell you, the Rodney Hood thing, not just he didn't go into game or whatever, but he has been just a huge disappointment. How about the other day he got in? This is Game 2, and he played 10 minutes and did not take a shot.
How about the fact, Terry, that he wanted off the floor about 4 minutes in? He was tired.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, this one of those things. I almost want to put Jose Calderon out there just to go out there and just start screaming at Marcus Smart or something.
Well, he'll move the ball, too, and they have not had any ball movement.
It's funny. Well, by the way, when I was in Toronto talking to some of the Raptors people, you know, where Jose spent a lot of his career, you talk about revered as a team guy and all that. Oh, they love that guy. And not that this is about Jose Calderon, but that's, again, that spirit, that want to. See, Calderon's not been there. Remember that. And I guess what some of those other guys have. And the Celtics, I think especially when they started to get Philadelphia on the run there at home in those first two, and they won some close games, I think it suddenly hit them, you know, this could be our year to get to the finals. Maybe we are ready.
All right, Terry Pluto, join us on the hotline. Let's switch gears to baseball. The Indians, a huge win. I really mean that yesterday.
Yes.
Trevor Bauer to almost
absolutely
go the distance was huge. They blanked the Tigers. They're 500 after 42 games, Terry. What has surprised you the most about how this season has gone?
Well, I mean, the total collapse of the bullpen. I mean, it isn't just Brian Shaw's not there. I mean, that obviously was an issue. But it's like everybody's been bad at some point. Or horrendous. Every single guy in the bullpen has had several terrible moments, and that is, I mean, this goes way back now where you see that. I didn't anticipate that being, you know, such a problem. The other is, you know, some of these, I thought Kipnis was going to hit this year. Maybe I fell into the Arizona thing. You know, I was out there when he was hitting home runs and moving well and all that, and just I did not anticipate after 40 games he's still under 200, and so that's been it. And we all knew Jose Ramirez would lead the American League in homers.
and how about he along with Lindor are better than Judge and
Stanton?
I mean, I guess we could look at it this way. There's been far more wrong than right about those guys. They're still 500, and they tend to play well in the second half under Terry Francona. I'm not, you know, just saying let's just turn that frown upside down. I'm looking at kind of a realistic way how the Indians are.
When you look at Francona, and of course he had a health problem last year.
Yes.
And he's got all kinds of tough losses this year. Do you think that it's weighing on him more than usual?
I think any manager has a bad bullpen, it's like you just feel like you have this growth, this cancer in your body that you can't quite control. And I mean that because it eats away, you know, the sort of the inside, right, inside of it, until you feel that we've got the right treatment. In other words, I've got the right relievers. I think that really is eating them up because, you know how it is. You play a good 6-7 innings, and, you know, Trevor's had some games the bullpen's kicked away. I forgot who else. Kluber, a couple early in the year. And I think they knew there was going to be an issue, but not just because we are 42 games in the season. Yeah. And the last time I looked, the bullpen was like ranked 13th in ERA. It's probably there or worse.
Right. Yeah, it seems like his frustration level is high because some of these guys are coming in and they get one chance and then they're done.
Yeah, and that's almost like, and he's got a desperation too.
And he's got to change. He's got to change the way he thinks about the sixth, seventh, and eighth. You know, he had Andrew Miller in the seventh inning the other day.
Yeah, and you know, and Andrew's rust back. Or, I mean, one of the issues about Andrew Miller. Now we'll see. I don't think we've reached that point with him yet, but because of how violent his arm action is and the legs and all that, you know, there was always a feeling he would be, you know, susceptible to some injuries. And now, this is one of my theories, and it's not an original one, Les and Anthony, but the dreaded, you know, what is it, spring classic? Remember that thing in spring training where they go to the World Games?
And they're playing full go in the beginning of spring training.
Right after he pitched 12,000 innings in the postseason to get him there.
No, you're right.
He's not been fully healthy for a season since. And Francona hates that thing. I remember I was in spring training there in 17 when Andrew was gone, and he was going, well, I hope he doesn't get hurt. And about every 3 days, Tito dredged up the ghost of Vinny Pastano, who was a pretty good reliever until he went to that thing, and then he was terrible after that.
Yep. All right, Terry. Well, you're never terrible. We appreciate you coming on, as always. I know you have faith in the Cavs, and let's do this again, please.
And I also knew when you go to the ghost of Vinny Pastano, it's over.
It's over. That's where it has to end. Thank you, Terry. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Terry.
All right, there he is, Terry Pluto of the Cleveland Plain Dealer on the hotline.
He knows stuff.
He does. Yeah, he's not just, he has an informed opinion, unlike the two of us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.